everything that we have went through here today. Amen. We had some excellent worship and praise. We had a chance to fellowship with one another. Amen. A chance to sing some high praise to the Lord. Amen. All these good things that came from the Lord for us today. Amen. So without any further delay, we are going to go right ahead and take it up, as they say, take it up a little higher.
All right.
Amen. I want to call your attention to some verses that have been impressed upon my spirit that I think will, hopefully, will edify you.
All right.
Today. Amen. It's always great to hear a word from the Lord. We want to thank God once again for everyone that's here on a visitation form of any sort.
Amen.
Whether you came to visit, you semi-permanent or whatever kind of thing it may be. Amen. We bless God. Thank Him for you. Amen. And we have enjoyed your company and your fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
Fellowship is an important thing. We talked about that during the Lord's Supper. You can see how important it is, because God wants us to fellowship with Him, right?
Amen.
Amen. That's awesome to me. It blows my mind to think that God would want such as us to fellowship with Him.
Yeah, that is amazing.
It is. It's awesome. I think whoever wrote that, "Amazing Grace," that's probably what he had in mind. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. He said, "I once was lost." Uh-huh. Y'all know how the song goes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
"But now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Was blind, but now. Amen.
Man.
Amen. We're going to go right ahead. I don't want to delay the time. We know y'all anxious to get out and pop some firecrackers and all that kind of stuff. Probably got some grills ready to smoke with all forms of different kinds of meats and so on and so forth. So let's go ahead and we'll get into the meat of the word here. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Right now, I'm going to call your attention to some verses that are familiar to most of us in the book of Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you have copies of this, I don't know if you do or not. I think we made some. We're going to go ahead and I'll ask one of the deacons to come up and conduct the reading. But I'd like to see if we can have the whole congregation read along with the deacons.
Amen.
Going to look at some verses from Jeremiah chapter number 31. And I'm not going to say it. I guess I'm going to have to say it, Doug. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I have to say it. I'm going to say it. Y'all know how that is. I'm going to leave it alone after that. But Jeremiah 31, starting at this 31st verse, and then also some verses in the New Testament. We're going to go to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, verses 14 to 22. Amen. That'll be the scripture for our meditation today. I'm going to ask the deacons to come and we can read along with them as we read these verses from the Lord. If you don't have a copy of it, look in your Bible, Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. And also Revelation 3:14. That'll get you in the right spot. Amen.
And we say in these verses together,
"Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more."
Amen. That's the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. Now the New Testament scripture reading from the book of Revelation. The deacons will lead us on this. Amen. Revelation chapter 3.
And unto the
angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, and I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. The New Testament word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the hearing and the doing of his holy word. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. And we're going to speak just for a few minutes here this morning on acquiring the unbreakable promises. Acquiring the unbreakable promises. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, I want to personally thank you for every person that's here today under the sound of my voice, Lord God. Father, we come as humbly as we can, Father, asking that you would dwell right here in the midst of this sanctuary, Lord. Touching every mind, every life, every heart, Lord God. Father, one needs you for one thing, somebody else needs you for something else. But you know all our needs, even before we ask. So, Father, today we ask you to enrich us, fill us, bless us, give us understanding. Oh, God, give us conviction. Whatever we need, Lord, we trust you today, Lord God, that you would bless everyone in the sound of my voice, Lord, whether they hear us here in the sanctuary or by extension any other way, Lord God, that they would receive a blessing from your word. Father, we ask you to save somebody, Lord God, who's struggling with the concept of salvation, Father. Make it plain today.
Please.
What you have done for them, Lord God, so that they can understand that there's one way to be right, and that is by grace through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us today, Lord God, as we preach in the name of Jesus. We ask this. It's in his righteousness that we pray, and the church said together, amen, 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 amen. We're going to go ahead and talk on that subject, acquiring the unbreakable promises. Amen. Acquiring the unbreakable promises. God has made promises in his word. That's a good thing. The word consists of many, many things that God has promised. The good thing about God's promise is that it's not like any other promises that you may get from someone else. Sometimes we make promises and we're not able to back it up. Sometimes it's not even intentional. We may make a promise and we well meant to keep it, but for some reason we were not able to keep it. And so sometimes our promises fall through.
Yes.
But the scripture says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away.
Never.
And I heard somebody mention earlier in the sanctuary that Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that lets you know that everything God has said basically is true. He says that the words that I have spoken to you, Jesus said, and this is one of, I'm not going to say, I sorry me not to say, this is one of my favorite verses. Y'all know that. I'm sorry. Y'all have to forgive me. But John 6:63, Jesus said in the C part of that verse, that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. They are spirit and they are life. He said the flesh profits nothing. Just before that. But it is the spirit that gives life.
That's right.
And the words that I speak to you, they are spirit.
Yes.
And they are life.
They are life.
Amen. So his word is a different kind of a thing than anything else that's been said in the word. He said this to some Pharisees and Sadducees. One day he said that not one jot or tittle shall in any wise fail. That means even the punctuation in my word is right. And it's going to come to pass. It's unbreakable. He said the scripture cannot be broken. Things of that sort. So what God has said is unbreakable. No one can defeat it or try to break it. People have done it throughout the years. They've tried to cause something God said not to be so. But you know what? No one has been successful. Because the promises of God are unbreakable.
Yes, they are.
He said it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away.
Yeah.
It will be easier for me to undo everything that's been done.
Yeah.
Than for one word, one jot or tittle, even the punctuation,
amen.
You see, to fail in my word.
Amen.
And so when God makes a promise, that means it's an unbreakable promise.
Right.
You can count on it.
Yeah.
You can be assured of
it.
You know, some people were counting on the banks back in 1928. And then in 29, the stock market crashed and the banks went belly up and folks couldn't keep their promise. They promised that we're going to pay you so much on these stocks. Some people jumped out the window, they tell me, and committed suicide back in those days because they were so attached to the physical things that they owned. They were so looking forward to the promises of men that they couldn't handle the consequences when those promises failed. But you know what? Had you have been trusting in the Lord and his unbreakable promises,
Yes. You
would have saw that you could get past even something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them did. Many did survive back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to talk to you about today is God has made these unbreakable promises,
Yeah. But
how do you and I get in on the deal?
All right.
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
How do you and I get in on the deal? God said all these good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
That he said that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. He says, my goodness and my blessing shall pursue you and overtake you if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. He said, if you do what I say, blessings are going to pursue you and overtake you. You're not going to have to go looking for a blessing. The blessing is looking for you if you take me up on my unbreakable promises. See, when you get in my word and let my word get in you, my blessings and favor and mercy is going to show up in your life.
Yeah.
It's going to overtake you and pursue you. You won't even understand, where's all this blessing coming from? You know, I got goodness and mercy following behind me. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. Didn't he say it? So you look behind you, what you got back there if you trust God's promises? Goodness and mercy. Not just today and tomorrow or yesterday, but all the days of my life. And I shall, the psalmist said, dwell in the house of the Lord. So these are the kind of promises that God made that are unbreakable. The question for you and me today, and what we hope to just dip into a little, is how do we acquire the unbreakable promises of God? How do I get in on this deal? It's a good deal. We already can tell that. Because God said that he will bless those who bless you, curse them who curse you. He told Abraham, and in your family, and in your seeds, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I'm going to bless all the families. You know what? There weren't any Jews when he spoke those words to Abraham. Abraham was a Chaldean Gentile in Genesis 12. And he called him, told him, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred and out of your father's house. Come into a land and I'll show you and I'll bless you and make your name great. That was an unbreakable promise that God gave to Abraham. He said, I'll bless the ones who bless you and curse him that curseth you. And in your seed, he was talking about Jesus.
Yes.
All the families of the earth shall be blessed. He told Abraham, call a Gentile, come out, separate, get away from everything you're counting on.
Yes.
Leave your inheritance and any blessing or anything that might be around you that your family may give you. you.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. Cut the cord and walk away scot-free.
Yeah.
Follow me.
Yeah.
But and Abraham didn't know. The Bible says he went out not knowing whither he went.
That's right.
See, but he knew he believed God, Genesis 15:6 said. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. When you believe God, it is accounted to you for righteousness. Did you know that? Righteousness is not about how much stuff I do. God has never promoted anybody doing anything wrong. If you're doing something wrong, God's not into that. I don't care if you believe or you don't. He's not into you doing stuff wrong. You know, he doesn't support that, but that's not how you get righteous. Let's say, and this is the problem with a lot of people in the world. They think, most of what I do is all right. I'm not doing anything much too bad. You know, we have that kind of an opinion. We think God's got a big scale sitting up there.
Yep.
And I did more good than I did bad, so the good outweighs the bad, so I'm going to be all right. No. No. There was a thief being crucified next to Jesus. He had done so much bad that they were hanging him out for the last time in the public to be scandalized and disgraced. And he said, Lord, when you enter your kingdom, please remember me. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Why? Because he did good? No. Because he did bad? No. Because you believe in me. So acquiring the unbreakable promises is a matter of you trusting God and believing what he said. He said that Abraham's seed, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, is the one who has secured for you all the unbreakable promises that I have made. In order for you to acquire them, you must believe in him.
That's right. Amen.
Whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Perishing is the judgment that people get for not believing.
Yes.
That means being separated from God and apart from his blessing rather than receiving his blessing.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you know what? Israel had gotten many covenants all the way back from Abraham, that's Genesis 12, all the way on through the prophets and the law. And by the time you get to Jeremiah here, they have all done wrong. They have defected on God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They have went back on the word that they had made to God. Jeremiah comes along now after they've been taken into captivity. The northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity in 722 BC. That's 722 years before Christ. They had divided into two kingdoms. God never told them to do that.
Right.
He said, my people are supposed to be one.
Amen.
And they separated. God allowed it. You know, God will allow you to do stuff he didn't say for you to do. It may not be, it's not going to be to your best benefit, but he will allow it. Just because he lets it happen doesn't mean he okays it.
All right. Amen.
The evidence of that is in the word.
Yes.
The covenant people divided after the reign of Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
10 of the tribes got together and went to the north and worshipped in Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them stayed put where they were supposed to be, mm-hmm. Benjamin and Judah, mm-hmm. in Jerusalem. And they worshipped God in Jerusalem, which is where God had established to put his name.
Right.
And so basically the northern kingdom went into captivity first because they were disobedient the most. Mm-hmm. And God chastised them, yeah. for being disobedient, not believing my word.
Mm-hmm.
He let them do it. It doesn't mean all of them were lost. We're not trying to determine that today.
Right.
But God's promises were to those who believe him and trust in him.
Amen.
And they're unbreakable. They cannot fail. They're just as sure as the sun coming up in the daytime or the moon at night. He said, they're just as sure as everything I set in order.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a day in your life? I haven't. I'm going to go ahead and testify it now. That the sun and the moon didn't do what they were supposed to do.
All right. I haven't seen it.
They came up every day. I can tell you for 60 years.
Yep.
They were right on schedule, right on target every day, every night. Sometimes they're eclipsed, but they're there and they're doing what they're supposed to do. I've never seen them fail. Why? Because God set them in motion, and this is part of the creation is operating on the unbreakable promises of God. So when you think about that, it behooves you to see, how can I get in on this? How do I acquire the unbreakable promises of God? How do I take that to myself? Well, the children of Israel, as we have briefly mentioned, separated. The northern kingdom was smitten by Assyria and taken into captivity. Many of them ran back where they should have been after that happened, when the judgment started to happen. Some of them got thrown in prison. Some of them got killed. Some of them got carried away captive, were refugees. And all all kinds of things happened when this other country came in to take them over. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a homework assignment today. When you get a chance, read Ezekiel 16. And it's the longest chapter in the book of Ezekiel. And then later on, read Ezekiel 23. And it'll bring those two things together for you. And you'll have to get some more understanding. But I'm going to try to put that in the message here this morning. But it tells the story of the two kingdoms and how they separated one as another. They looked at as two women that were actually it was only one woman to start with, and that's what it says here in this text. Look at this here. It says, behold now, Jeremiah 31 and 31, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. See that? And with the house of Judah. Now, when you see those two terms in the Old Testament, the house of Israel speaks of the northern kingdom. The house of Judah speaks of the southern kingdom. So these are the two women that I want you to look at. There should have only been one who was one woman united together with one God who was her husband, but they split into two. So God addresses them the way they are. That's what God is doing to us today. He addresses us where we are. He knows where you are. It may not be where he wants you to be, but he addresses you where you are. So behold, he says, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the northern kingdom, and with the house of Judah, the southern kingdom. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Now, when was that? That was the Exodus, right?
Yeah.
And my covenant, they break.
Mm-hmm.
See that? You broke my covenant, but I still brought you through like I promised Abraham I would do.
Yeah.
And he says, and I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. God said, I married myself to you. You my bride.
Yep.
Israel, my people, the covenant people.
Yeah.
But you broke the covenant, not me.
Man.
My end is still good. It's unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
But notice what he says here, verse number 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days.
Mm-hmm.
He says that I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now he speaks of them all together in verse 33, called the house of Israel. See that?
Yeah.
And here, notice on as we move down, he says, verse 34, and they shall teach no man, no more, every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me.
Yeah.
From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more.
Wow.
God says, I got a plan to forgive your iniquity. Iniquity is a word that means inborn sin.
Right.
It's sinfulness that I come in the world with. It's they call it original sin as a term you've heard put to the word iniquity.
Right.
Iniquity is where I have a proclivity not to do the right thing.
Yep. Amen.
You know, that's why you see little babies screaming and hollering like they're about to die, and there's nothing wrong with them. I want some milk right now. The world is going to come to an end. Get up out of bed right now and give me some milk. Oh, is it that serious? That's iniquity. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're asleep. I don't care what you're going through. You're going to stop what you're doing now and deal with me. That's iniquity. We want what we want. We want it now. I don't care what you're doing. I want it now. It comes in you all the way from a kid. You have to teach a kid. You don't have to teach them how to say no.
That's
the first word come out of my mouth. No! You don't want to do it. They tell you, go do something. No! They'll tell you in a minute. Rebellion is built in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
See, it's something you have to check your kids on and teach them don't be rebellious.
Yeah.
You have to teach them to obey you. You have to teach them to be kind. You have to teach them to be nice. You have to teach them to be polite.
Yes. Yeah.
They come in otherwise want to run everything. That's how we are. We want to overtake the world like the pinky in the brain. What are we doing today, brain? We're going to overtake the world. That's what we're doing. That's what they do every day, right? And they never take over the world. But so that's that inbuilt sin. That's what iniquity is. But then when he says, and we'll remember their sin, sin is willful rejection of what God said. Now as you know what to do, isn't that what James said? To him who knows what to do and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, So we find that in the book of 1 John, also in the book of James, he talks about the sin factor. That's when we know what we're doing. We know that's wrong and we do it anyway. That's transgression.
Yeah, transgression.
Because now you know what it is and you cross the line anyway. So he said, I'm going to forgive that. Though. That's the good news. So the new covenant is there's coming a time when there will be universal forgiveness. And this is an unbreakable promise from God. And so how do you and I acquire the unbreakable promises of God? Well, I want you to see, first of all, that Israel, the chosen people of the Most High God, had many of the same challenges as the church does today, and that the people who have been selected by God, you know, if you're saved, it's because God chose you.
That's right.
It's not because you chose him.
Amen.
He's choosing you if you believe him right now.
Yeah.
And if you never told him you believe him, you ought to do it. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
But he chose you, just like he chose Israel.
Yeah.
John 15:16, you did not choose me, I chose you.
Yeah.
And I ordained you that you should go forth and bear much fruit and that your fruit should remain.
Amen.
Jesus said, I ordained you.
Amen.
You got in on this deal because I called you.
Amen.
He's calling you. He's calling the world. He told us to go out and tell the whole world. He said, go to the hedges and the highways, right?
Yes.
And compel them to come in. God says, go plead with them.
Yes.
Tell them, come in that my house might be full.
Mm-hmm.
See, don't skip nobody. He looked like an alcoholic and a drunkard, and maybe he is, but tell him the gospel.
All right.
So he can come in. I want to save him.
Yeah.
She walking the stroll, but tell her the gospel.
Amen.
I want to save her.
Yeah.
No matter what she's doing, she's selling drugs. Tell her the gospel.
Yes.
I want to save her.
Yeah.
She's practicing Buddhism and false religion. Tell her the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to save her.
Amen.
See, I have one way to save whosoever believes.
Yes.
And so he challenges the church. The church today is similar to Israel in that we have been selected by God to live holy lives in the midst of others who have no particular desire to do so. Who are always tempted to walk in the same ways as them. That's what the church does. We're tempted to walk like we see everybody else. They're getting away with it. So why can't we do it? Because it appears to be acceptable because of a misunderstanding of the mercy of a righteous God. If somebody else can do it, why can't I do it? That's the way we think. That's that fallen nature. And I want you to look quickly at Revelation and we can draw these thoughts together here. In Revelation, I want you to see here, because this is characterizing the church of the last days. This, I believe, is characterizing the church right now that's in the world. In the seven letters, this is the last letter to the church of the Laodiceans. He says in verse 14, and unto the angel, that means the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans. It could be the preacher, whoever's delivering the message is a messenger. The word angel is angelos in the Greek. It means a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
See, the messenger, whoever it is that's sent with the message.
Right.
These things, he says, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. God says, I know what you're up to.
Uh-huh.
And that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Be one or the other. Don't be lukewarm. He goes on to say, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's a kind of a cleaned up way in the King James translation to say, I feel like I want to throw up. Because you're not hot, you're not cold. Somebody said, when you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not. God said, I want you to be either hot or cold. Be on fire for Jesus or leave it alone. See that? Because thou sayest, I am rich. Or are you looking at what you've been blessed with? And I am increased with goods. And I have need of nothing. And knowest not thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Wow. You got one opinion of yourself. What about God? God's got another opinion. So he says, and he doesn't say I'm going to cast you into the deepest pits of hell. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, you know, Isaiah said we're going to come to him and buy without money and without cost. Remember that?
Yeah.
So you can buy this gold. You can get it. What do? You have to believe God.
That's it.
You trust in him. He brings you on board.
Yeah.
He says, come to me. This is how I counsel you to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Mm-hmm. You think you're rich with that stuff you got. I want to make you rich for real.
Yeah.
With salvation.
Yeah.
So you can know that you can acquire all the the unbreakable promises that I have made. That favor and mercy will pursue you and overtake you if you walk with me by faith.
Come on.
Now he says, and you not only are you going to be rich, but you're going to have white raiment. In other words, I'm going to cover you for your sin. You have a spotted garment, but I'm going to cover you with white raiment. That thou mayest be clothed. Because he said up there they were naked. Remember that in verse 17? And that he says, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. In other words, when you come before me, you can put away shame because I'm going to cover you. And you'll be clean and right in my sight. And it may not appear to anyone. I'm going to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. I'm going to fix you where you can see things my way. Stevie wrote a song like that, didn't he? I'm going to see it my way. Well, God says, I want you to see it my way. I'm going to fix your eyes where you can see the world the way I see it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He's giving a warning. God warns the world. Listen to me. Believe me. Trust me. Walk with me. Let me open up your eyes so you can see things the way I see it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is amazing. Here it is. God, you think if this is a church, he ought to be inside. Right. In the midst. Right. Oh, no, I'm not inside with you folks.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
I stand at the door and knock.
Amen.
Now notice he went from plural to if any man, singular. That means any one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Hear my voice and open the door. I will come into him. This is singular.
Mm-hmm.
And will sup with him. And he with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's at the door, but he'll open it for one person.
Mm-hmm.
He'll come into your heart.
Yes.
He'll live in you. He'll lead you and guide
yes.
you to all truth. All you have to do is open the door. Let me in.
Yeah.
I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to barge in or kick the door in.
All right.
I stand at the door. This door is the door of your heart.
Yeah.
And I knock. Let me in.
Yeah.
I want to save you. Want to cover you. Don't want to judge you. Want to cover you with my righteousness
yeah.
and my truth. Notice this. To him that overcometh, I will grant. That word grant, that means it's a gift.
Yes. Yes.
You don't earn it. I'm going to grant you
Amen.
With it. When you get a grant, you don't have to pay for it, right?
Wow.
It's paid in full.
Amen.
But I'll grant you to sit with me in my throne,
Amen.
Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne.
Yes.
Who is this speaking here?
Jesus.
Come on now. That's Jesus.
Yes.
He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit
yes.
saith to the churches. I'm saying it to everybody. This word church is ecclesia, the called out ones.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, that I want you to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
And so basically, you and I have a challenge to take up what God has said. The lukewarm church of the last days is revealed to be one who values things and possessions, which appear to the lost to be above the things which God says are truly precious.
Mm-hmm.
While God issues a letter of counseling them to repent and remember the things that are really spiritually beneficial. Now, you can have a big stack of junk, and when you go in the box, the junk is going to remain.
Yeah.
Or Jesus said you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven
yeah.
where neither moss nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal.
Mm-hmm.
You can lay your treasure up in heaven
yes.
by trusting in God.
Yeah.
And then what you do, only what you do for Christ will last. We say that's not a biblical verse.
Amen.
But everything you do stacks up treasure for you in heaven. It's imperishable,
yeah.
incorruptible, and undefiled.
Amen.
It's laid up for you, Peter said.
Wow.
See, so you want to learn how to, this is how you deal with treasures God gives you on earth, transform them into treasures in heaven by utilizing what God has given you for his glory and his benefit. He said, you know what? If you do that, I'm going to make sure you have plenty.
Yeah.
I'm going to pursue you and overtake you with blessings.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be filled up with goodness. You're going to see it my way.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start to live a different way. So the key to acquiring the unbreakable promises of God is to stick to the word. Have a passion for God and reject the ways of the world. See that? And it's very simple. The flesh and the devil, these are the enemies of the church. Reject the way the world thinks. The flesh and the devil. It's going to get you in trouble, let me tell you. Because the world's not going to like it. But you know what? Somebody is going to hear the truth and be transformed. So you need to take a stand for God on what he said, no matter what it costs you or how it will work out in your life. So God is well able and willing to do whatsoever is needed to assure that his promises are certain as the day is long toward the ones who love him. Mm-hmm. Amen. So that's how you can acquire the promises of God.
Yeah.
Now, just as I close, I want to make sure that everybody understands God loves you just like you are.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do or have to do to please him but believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you shall be saved.
Amen.
God has provided that, and he wants to grant you salvation.
Yeah.
He does that by faith.
Mm-hmm.
He gives faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right.
Romans 10:17 says.
Yep.
Now Numbers 14:21 says, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's where everything is heading. And what the earth is filled with the glory of the Lord right now.
Yes.
But maybe you need some eye salve so you can see it.
Right.
If you don't see it, it's there.
Come on, man.
But God says, I'm going to fix you where you can see it. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Wow, how do the waters cover the sea? Wow, see, you know, so much water, it's unbelievable. Have you ever gotten on Google Earth and you spin the globe around where you can almost see nothing but water? All the land looks like it's gone. I don't know if y'all play with the world like that. I do. I get on there, spin it around. Okay, I don't see hardly any land. It's mostly all water when you look at it from a particular vantage point.
Yep.
But he says, there's coming a time when the earth, that's the land, shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Wow. That's deep. In other words, it'll be known. God will be known everywhere, from coast to coast and around the world. Isaiah said the same thing. They shall not hurt, Isaiah 11:9, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk says the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
Isaiah said he's going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord.
Knowledge of him.
See, as the waters cover the sea.
Uh-huh.
1 Samuel chapter, I got just a couple of verses and we'll be done. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, it says in 1 Samuel 3:7. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. There was a time when Samuel, who was a prophet, did not know the Lord. The word of God had not been revealed to him. So this is when he began to acquire the knowledge of God. He kept getting up saying, did you call me, Eli? Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Get back to bed. Don't bother me no more. He goes to sleep, and then another minute, did you call me, Eli? No, I didn't call you. Get back to bed. Then by the third time, Eli is the high priest.
Yep.
Samuel was a little kid that's been put in his charge by his mother Hannah, who had prayed for him to be born, dedicated him to the Lord. The third time he came, did you call me, Eli? He finally discerned his spiritual man, supposedly. Next time you hear that voice, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Yep.
I hear you. He knew, he discerned it was the Lord, because Samuel did not know the Lord. So he did. He spoke. All you have to say is, Lord, open up my mind, open my heart. Show me your way, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
God's anxious to do that.
Yes,
so if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to talk to you first. God loves you just like you are.
Yes.
You may be wondering, sometimes people don't come to God because they don't think, oh, there's no way I can satisfy God. You look at your own self, put yourself down.
Yep.
But God says, that makes no difference what you've done.
That's right. Amen.
Makes no difference how long you've been doing it. You'd be shocked if you knew what people who are saved are doing.
All right.
It's sad. I'm going to be the truthful up here today. Well, folks who are saved, that doesn't mean I'm through dealing with sin altogether, does it? Does it? Can I get a witness?
Do I have to
say what? But we all struggle with sin and difficult issues. But the difference is you have a peace of mind of knowing that I'm covered by the Most High God. God has covered me. That's another reason for this table. I can come here and confess my sin and get cleansed again. When I see something new, God's going to break open some new frontier for me. He's going to be building up the good stuff in your life and tearing down the strongholds of the devil as you go. So you can trust him to do that. You need his help.
Yeah.
You'll do better, I don't care who you are, if you get Jesus on board with you.
Yeah.
You can't do it without him.
Yeah.
But you can do it under the cover of his grace.
Yeah.
That I know that I'm covered because he gave his son. He loved me so much.
Yes.
He gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
That so that if I just believe in him, I'm covered.
That's it.
That's what salvation is. So I want you to know that he loves you just like you are. Now you may be saved and maybe you're struggling with something. We want you to know God knows what you're struggling with.
Right.
He said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just.
Yes.
To forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to have to say, how many here, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I just want to say, how many of you know that God has cleansed you from some stuff that's unrighteous in your life? He has cleansed you. Some stuff, I don't do that no more. I'm not going down that road. I still got some stuff he needs to help me with right now. But this stuff here, that's history. I ain't going that way no more. I'm cleaned up. I'm walking a new walk. And I have a way to get cleansed. He says, the one who confesses, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, so he's giving you the eye salve, is making you where I can see what's wrong and what's right. When I see it, I'm going to tell him about it. That's the difference.
Yeah.
I'm going to come before his table and ask him to cleanse me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask him to cover me and forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said? Whoever confesses your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the covenant that he made, he said, with Israel, the new covenant. See, and so that's what we're asking you to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Lean not to your own understanding. That don't make sense to me, Pastor, or don't make sense to your pastor either. But he said, lean not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand it. You know what? I don't know why the sun does what it does, but I believe it's he set it up there. It benefits me every day. I don't have to understand why the moon does what it does. I don't have to understand why the rivers flow into the sea, but the sea is not full, Solomon said. I don't need to understand that.
Thank you.
But I trust the one who put it in order.
Yes, Lord.
And he'll put it in order in your life and in your house. If you just trust him with all your heart. So let us stand. We're going to go ahead and prepare for dismissal. But I want to pray with you right now. Let's pray. Lord God, we heard the word. We heard the good news. It's awfully good news, God. You gave your son because there was nothing that we could do in our human strength, Lord, to make ourselves clean in your sight.
Yes.
But you gave Jesus. You allowed him to be crucified on the cross. He was willing to take the punishment that we deserve in order to cleanse us from all sin. And so we come trusting in him. The good news is that you allowed him to be buried in the grave for 3 days and nights. But on the third day, according to your word, the law and the prophets, he got up with all power in his hands and defeated death, hell, the grave, and the devil. And he did it for us. And so, Father, we believe the good news, the gospel. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Cover us, O God, with your linens of righteousness, O God. Lead us and guide us to all truth by your Holy Spirit. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we ask it in the perfect name of your Son, according to your unbreakable promises. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. And the church said together, amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. Amen.